Did some banks cross the line to win the lucrative business of hedge funds by offering the funds bogus price quotes on hard-to-value bonds? The Securities and Exchange Commission is now investigating whether some banks had trades steered their way as a reward for helping hedge funds make money by submitting quotes at requested levels, according to two people familiar with the matter. Joining us is Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School. Peter, take us into this opaque market world of valuations of bonds tied to home loans and other debt.
Well, unlike stocks, where we're used to seeing prices moving up and down throughout the day, there is, for most bonds, corporate bonds, and especially more esoteric ones like mortgage-backed securities, there is no public market, so you don't have the kind of transparency that we get with equities. And so this is really where you have to go to the firms that are trading the bonds and find out from them what price are they willing to buy at and sell at. A lot of this is based on an estimate, and especially if it's something that doesn't trade very much. You have some bonds that might not trade for a month or more, and therefore there's a fair amount of guesswork in here. And of course, the question is, when you have something that is really based on an estimate, has it been manipulated? And I think that's what the SEC's concern is here.
So take us through, if you would, how, you know, if you were going to do something bogus here, how exactly would you go about making more money?
Well, this is a little bit like what we've seen before with the LIBOR investigations. You get someone to nudge the price up a little bit or down a little bit by giving you a quote that is not going to be outlandish. You would not say something that might be worth 100 is going to trade for 200, but instead you say, well, it's really trading at 102, whether in fact there would be a transaction for that. And so as you're trying to gather the information and gather the prices to value your bonds, you can go to various firms, and you know, a lot of this can be done by a wink and a nod. Because you don't have the kind of transparency that you get in the stock markets, this is very difficult to trace, and that's going to be the challenge for the SEC, is tracking down the kind of information that can show that the quotes were bogus and not made in good faith.
So, Peter, in June of 2016, the SEC accused two portfolio managers at Visium Asset Management of soliciting phony quotes from friendly brokers over an 18-month period to justify inflated valuations on distressed debt holdings. One pleaded guilty, one was sentenced because there was also a criminal, parallel criminal prosecution. Is this just a follow-up to what the SEC has been investigating already at a different level?
Well, I think it even goes earlier than that, too. For example, you saw Jesse Litvak was convicted a couple years ago and then got a retrial and was sentenced just this past year to 2 years for providing incorrect bond prices. The SEC and the Justice Department have really been cracking down over the last couple years on the bond market because of the lack of transparency and how traders can use the lack of transparency to try to favor their own position. And of course, this is one of those areas where you don't make the outlandish bid, but you look to make a little bit of money a couple thousand times. So on each trade, you try to juice your return a little bit. And of course, that's what traders are always trying to do, trying to squeeze a little bit more profit out of each transaction. So I think this is of a piece with those other cases, that we're really seeing a push to get more transparency, or at least some type of self-reliance in the bond market to make sure the prices that are quoted are at least close to correct.
Peter, you've mentioned the difficulties in actually investigating and proving misconduct here in light of the lack of transparency. Are there technological solutions to that that the SEC can use to track trades and try to prove something?
Well, certainly there has been a push, and you see this with larger issuers of bonds, you know, the IBMs of the world and companies, ExxonMobil, that have a number of bonds out there where you have a liquid market where prices are reported, and there's been a push to do this in the municipal securities area. But of course, the bond market is trillions of dollars, and you have any number of issues that don't trade very much, and any effort at transparency, of course, is going to be costly. You have to get the information gathered and then out to the market. And how are you going to do that? So certainly the government, the SEC and DOJ would love to have more transparency, but that's easier said than done, I think, in this area.
Peter, what kind of charges could they level against these banks?
Well, certainly the SEC can go after the banks if bogus quotes were given, or at least false quotes that were then dispensed to investors. That's securities fraud. That's a basic 10b-5 claim for fraud in connection with the purchase or sale of a security, and a bond certainly is a security. So the SEC could go down the fraud route, or with brokers, and the big banks have brokerage arms, they're required to maintain proper books and records. And so if there's any falsification in the books and records, that could be another avenue. And, of course, the prosecutors, and we've seen them do this, they have that wonderful tool of theirs called the wire fraud statute. Any email that were to contain false information can be the basis of a wire fraud claim. So the government has some pretty powerful tools that can be used to police the market. It's just a matter of putting the cases together, which is the real challenge in this area.
Peter, in about 30 seconds, isn't there an argument, though, that going to the banks and getting the pricing that way is actually, given the lack of transparency, the best way for funds to figure out what these bonds are worth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are the people you have to go to. The question is has this become a pay-to-play market that give me the quote I want and we'll steer some trades to you and you'll get some commissions out of it? Has the market gotten too cozy? You've got to go to the big banks. There's no way to avoid them.
Peter Henning, it's always a pleasure to have you on Bloomberg Law. That's Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School. That does it for this edition of Bloomberg Law. Thanks to our producer, David Sutcherman, and our technical director, Chris Tricomi. Coming up, we're going to have Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson. And Corey, I hear you're there to tease us with what's coming on next.
Apparently I am, yeah. So we're going to look at software as a service. It has been one of the fastest growing parts in the world of technology. It is rapidly changing how businesses run their businesses. We're going to dig into why SaaS, software as a service, is still growing at an extraordinary pace.
All right, that's coming up right now on Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson. I'm June Grosso with Michael Best. Thank you for joining us on Bloomberg Law. Join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. for more. This is Bloomberg.